Welcome to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew, and I'm joined again with the one and only Father Harry Dean. And coming back for another week is, again, Father Tim Nolte from St. Joseph's in Killeen, and Father Will Rooney at St. Mary's in Temple, making sure I include the city names for clarity and everybody. Gentlemen, thanks for coming back. Father Harry, thanks for joining us.
That's great to be here again. It's good to see you guys again, too. Likewise. Welcome, welcome. So last week here, now that we're in our second show, our very first show, our inaugural, we talked about the importance and necessity of Catholic schools. I'd like to dive a little deeper into some of those aspects by way of Archbishop J. Michael Miller, CSB, the former secretary for the Congregation for Catholic Education at the Vatican. And he examined numerous papal and Vatican documents, and he spelled out five characteristics essential, in his mind, to Catholic education. If a school, he said, is to be authentically Catholic, it must be. And then he's got five things that he lists here. Number one was inspired by a supernatural vision. That's a school is going to be authentically Catholic if it is inspired by a supernatural vision. The second one, that it would be founded on Christian anthropology, which you fellows touched on last week. Mm-hmm. The third one, animated by communion and community, which you also touched on. Fourth, imbued with a Catholic worldview through its curriculum, and sustained by a gospel witness. So let's just start off the top. I'd like to get you guys' thoughts, Father Will, Father Tim, on that first statement. A school to be authentically Catholic, it must be inspired by a supernatural vision. Tell us what that is in your schools.
Yeah, so I think when Archbishop Miller is talking about that, he's talking about the fact that we, you know, think about a vision. It's where we're going. It's the idea of, we have a destination, and that destination exceeds just our human nature. It is actually that we're called to communion with the Lord. And so a Catholic education, and I'm quoting from a document that is put out by Bishop Conley of Lincoln, Nebraska. He did a little summary of this. He says, a Catholic education teaches baptized students to live in the glorious freedom of the children of God, quoting from Romans 8:21. It's concerned with the formation then of the whole person, not just the academic aspect or not just the physical development or not just the social development. No, the whole person as one who's ordered to union with God. So that's what I think of when I think of a supernatural vision. Father Tim, you have any additional?
Perhaps. That was very good. I like that answer. Very nice.
Thank you, Father Tim.
So I think of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, and their goal, their proper goal is God. Mm. And of course, charity is foundational to it all. This is what St. Paul says will endure. You know, faith and hope get us moving. Love really motivates us to move ourselves towards God, towards heaven, with his help in the sacraments and in our communities. And faith and hope really are very relevant to this stage in our journey there. And of course, when we're with the Lord in heaven in the beatific vision, then it's charity. Mm. You know, all the others have been fulfilled, and he is the fulfillment of all desire. And so I think that we can then begin to, you know, break it down, mm-hmm, and begin to live that. And that, again, as Father Will said so well, what's the end? What's the telos? What is the point of all this? It is really an interesting aside. I'm reading slowly Archbishop Martinez's book, The Sanctifier, and going through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and recently reflected just a little bit in the gift of piety. And it goes beyond just a virtue or an aspect of wanting to be devoted to God. This is about a gift that is with us. Whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit is in us. This is a fact. It's a fact through baptism. Mm-hmm. Confirmation confirms that baptismal grace and moves us outwards. So I like to think about the gifts of the Spirit as they're a given. Mm. And piety is a given. And that gift is what moves us towards glorifying God, honoring him as a father. And I love that definition of piety, because that's like Romans 8 where Paul says, we're not given over to a spirit of slavery again to fear, but a spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father, mm-hmm. and we begin to trust that Spirit. Think about how that Spirit works against concupiscence, works against the effects of original sin, in letting us know from the inside out. Romans 8, later on, Paul talks about how that Spirit, he works inside of us with groanings we know deeper than we know how to utter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Saying, you belong. You belong. You belong to the Heavenly Father. God is good. Trust Him with your life. And so I think the supernatural vision is being able to help bring others into that deep trust that God is good. We unlearned that in the garden in the fall. Mm-hmm. God is good. He loves you as a father. And so this then becomes part of that vision of the supernatural family that we crack open and we explore one day at a time.
When you say that, I think of our first episode where we talked about, well, what's different about a Catholic school compared to a public school? Being able to articulate a supernatural vision, to have that be part and parcel of the everyday life of the teachers, the administration, the school, children themselves, obviously, that's a beautiful thing. What you guys just put on the table there, parents, please know, this is the intention for your children mm-hmm. to encounter every single day. That's not going to happen in a public school.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and I think just moreover, as you were saying, parents, this is the intention for your children to encounter. This is the good news for you, parent, to encounter, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I love the first line of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I was just looking it up here. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share mm-hmm. in his own blessed mm-hmm. life. Like, okay, we could spend all day just talking about
that one sentence.
Exactly. But that's really at the heart of what a Catholic school does is it says, what's the meaning? What, I mean, yeah, I'm learning, you know, kids are classic. I teach logic at our school, and my seventh graders are asking, Father, well, why do we have to learn this? And I'm like, I kid you not, I said something. I actually gave them a reason the other day, and they said, oh, that makes sense. And I was like,
you're winning.
I was like, whoa,
wow.
This is an insane.
Was somebody recording this?
Yeah. I need to remember this day. Write it down. December 6th, whatever. A day that, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I want to be not, like, I'm going to be not pedantic. I'm not going to follow order here because I'm thinking about the connection between that supernatural vision and this other point, animated by communion and community.
Mm. Okay.
So what I like is that we can learn in Catholic schools how to be community, mm-hmm. which means that we come into the situation sometimes not all polished and refined, just like in the parish. I often tell the parish this, as we work together in a ministry, we're helping to form one another in the faith. In other words, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, mm-hmm. that we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
And we're going to irritate one another.
Guaranteed.
And it's going to be difficult. And parents are going to be annoyed at someone else's kid one day, or they're going to be annoyed at a teacher, or a teacher will be annoyed at them. How do we work that out?
Mm-hmm.
And teachers need to be professional about it. And our administrators, we want excellent professionals who can help us find our way in all of that. But it's okay, because this is part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that that in the Catholic school, we have hard days. Sometimes
it's not all sunshine is and roses.
No, people are, they're just people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we priests have job security. Because there's always people.
Yeah.
And people always need the Lord. And so
always be a need for confession.
Yeah. And well, talking about confession, this is how community, inspired by a supernatural vision, after a school mass, we always have a grade or two that's in line for confession.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you do something very similar, mm-hmm. Father Will. I've been to other places where I can sense the school children are not going with as much regularity to confession, mm-hmm. and in our schools they are, and those are great confessions.
Yeah.
And I like knowing that all those who have their first communion or their first communion are now able to come in for confession. In other words, I know that our school community is being confessed on a regular basis,
yep.
and the kids seem to get a lot out of that too.
Sure.
Father, well, what's your experience with that?
Yeah, I mean, I love that opportunity because I love being able to say to a family and to the kids themselves, like, you see me in the hallway, you can ask to go to confession, right? We're going to have these other opportunities. But mm-hmm. I think that there's something about that of like, okay, yeah, like this is the most important thing, right? Your relationship with Jesus. And yeah, that everything is imbued by that.
Yeah. To circle back to something, Father Tim, you said when you were talking about Romans 8 and slavery, you mentioned the word slavery.
Freedom.
And I think that was something that really kind of, that I got out of Bishop Conley's document. It really, as it relates to this supernatural vision, is this idea of being free, independent thinkers. And I think that, and this is going to sound like I'm being overly critical of the public school system, and maybe I am, but it seems there's, maybe it's just a perception, but it seems that there is a time where it's being, what the students are being taught is how to get to the next test or how to get to the next grade, as opposed to being taught a moralistic theologically based.
Well, yeah, Father Will's been talking about this or talking around it a lot today, but it has to do with what's the end? What's the telos? What is the end? It is more than just you have a skill to do something, right? It's the formation of the human person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that is the Catholic thing. Yeah. We want to form excellent citizens for heaven who are excellent citizens of this world and free to be creative in all their endeavors to evangelize, fully creative. Go out there, win the world for Christ with your skills, with your energy. But first, we start first by forming citizens for heaven and then citizens of the world in that order. And I think sometimes the public schools are tasked with a lot of, I remember reading in the paper, Clean Daily Herald, about schools and all of the requirements for paperwork.
Wow.
And the administrative side can be so overbearing for a lot of our public school teachers today. And because there are lots of requirements. And so I think those educators want to teach the whole person as well, but I think they're constrained in some ways too.
Yeah. And I think they are constrained, right? Like in a certain way, because it's this whole, you know, Tommy, you were talking about independent free thinkers, which there's something really beautiful about that. And then, you know, really what I was thinking of when you were saying that though was, it's not so much about being independent. It's about recognizing like what I am. Right. Mm-hmm. So because the truth is there's no autonomous, like there's no completely autonomous person.
Right.
Right. We're all creatures. We're all children of a loving Father. And I think that one of the challenges is, and this is the opportunity of a Catholic school, is we can point kids to meaning in a deep way. Because, you know, sometimes we say, or we hear the idea, well, you make meaning. You make meaning out of things. Well, there's a certain sense in which that's true. But honestly, the more Catholic view is that you find meaning. You encounter meaning. And that's ultimately in the person of Christ. But, and so, like, in a Catholic school, to be inspired by a supernatural vision is to see that in math class, like, that has something to do with God. In science class, that has something to do with God. God is in literature and in history and in all of those sciences, all of those areas of study, they keep their integrity, right? Math class is not literature class, is not religion class, but God is first, last, and all.
Sure.
He's found in everything, and in that you can encounter meaning in a powerful way. And that can start from a child of 4 or 5 years old, right? You're reading a story, and that's how we all learn, really, at the beginning, is we tell stories to one another, right, and we encounter meaning.
Which I think gets back to what Father Tim said just a minute ago, you know, going to animated by communion and community. You find them in that teacher and parent that are irritated with each other. Irritation doesn't necessarily have to be a bad moment. It can be another moment in which we discover Christ in very powerful and meaningful ways. just like, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but in certain parishes where I've been before that had schools, we as the preaching priests at a, for school mass in particular would be given by the pastor certain themes that the teachers wanted us to cover for that particular time. And there was a dynamic that we were asked to use where we would put questions to the children and then expect answers to come from them. And then you were supposed to kind of roll with that, move the homily forward, and then state the theme just in case it didn't get clearly stated. Sure. 100% of the time, not every hit and miss, 100% of the time, not only would the children answer the prompt question, but they take it into insights that I had not intended whatsoever, and brought out things that were just really beautiful that I thought, wow, I wished I had thought of that. Which brings me back to, since we're going up and down the number schema here, you know, I was wondering, how are we going to explain to people what Christian anthropology is? We've been doing it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Everything you've been talking about is how the human person.
So I was thinking about this question, you know, you can be wherever you want to be. Going back to meaning,
oh,
right?
Man.
And we get the, we, this is not a statement of human freedom. It's a statement of insanity.
Yeah.
Right.
Not everybody can be anything they want to be.
Right. The world needs ditch diggers too.
Well, it's more than that. It is the freedom to discover who you actually are.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think this part of anthropology is solid. You know, we're talking about logic, we're talking about truth, we're talking about natural law, revealed truth. That the more we discover who we actually are, the more freer we are to love God, to love ourselves, and love others.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly right, Father Tim. Just like every time I see someone, even in our school, sometimes I'll see like, you can do anything you set your mind to. And I'm like, well, actually.
That's insane. It's not sane thinking.
I'm not ever going to be the starting quarterback.
Right. No, but so the intent of that statement is really good though, right? Because it's saying to people like, don't impose artificial limits upon yourself just because you've been told a certain thing. But the problem is,
I'm thinking of my favorite demotivators poster. it's a thing of French fries, and it says, "Not everybody gets to go up and be a rocket scientist." I'm sorry. Okay. I digress.
Anyway, the point being that we want. Sorry, dang it. You're gonna have to cut that out.
That's right.
We want to find that meaning, and ultimately, that's found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And knowing that we're beloved sons and daughters, and that will actually also lead to the flourishing and fulfillment that we want in our human lives. Right? Like it's not a either or proposition. It's a both and.
Well, and when we're using, you know, back in Christian anthropology, when we think of anthropology, we might think of like paleontology, the study of bones, or we might think of the study of the human person. And I think we tend to go to the physical. But in Catholic schools, we get to incorporate the immaterial, which is like we are an immortal soul. And that's part of our anthropology. And what that means is that God's order, the heavenly hierarchy is ordered. The angels, the fallen angels, the saints, we are called to a participation in that hierarchy.
That's right.
And if we don't understand that, we're bound for lack of human freedom. Mm. We're bound to not understand that the Father is really good and his will is good. It seems so restrictive. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me today what I need to do your will. It sounds so restrictive to our mindset today, but it's the path to greatest human freedom and flourishing.
Mm-hmm. What jumped out at me on this particular point, that Bishop Conley made the statement about, you know, the Catholic schools teaches students that through Jesus, they can become the people God calls them to be, which kind of gets, we were joking, the demotivation poster, joking, but, you know, and like you said, Father Will, that, you know, you can be anything you want to be. Well, again, no, you may not necessarily be anything that you want to be. But I think part of the base structure of a Catholic school is helping people understand to gain that relationship with Jesus and to be able to open their hearts and their minds to learn what it is they're supposed to do.
Look at who founded, who's responsible for the American hospital system?
The Catholic Church.
Yeah. Talk about gospel witness, Christian anthropology, being willing to practice both spiritual and corporal works of mercy, it propelled our communities to create wonderful acts of mercy. Catholic universities, where do they come from, right? So the flourishing...
The idea of a university, period, comes from the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
The university,
This is, we care about human flourishing. We care about the here and now. We care about the richness of it, about the arts, about engineering, about exploring the cosmos. But we start with God, and we start with Him, and let Him show us how to do that.
I think going back to what you were...
I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
No, you didn't.
I need to apologize.
You didn't interrupt.
I have a Catholic school. I have to practice this, all right?
Virtue. You need virtue.
Thank you. And that takes practice.
No,
thank
it does.
You.
And that's the thing is like it's... We get to help kids grow in virtue and this stable disposition to do the good. You talk about desiring. Like what we desire... has a lot to do with what, like how our life is gonna roll out, right? And you know you have to like learn what is good. Think about a kid who, I'm trying to think of a good example. A kid loves a McDonald's hamburger better than a good filet mignon, right? Like you're like, no, you're wrong. You're objectively wrong. The filet mignon is better than the hamburger. It's just this.
No, I was just gonna say, you're talking about an understanding of what the Lord has called us to be in a different little bit different setting. Obviously, because I was in a public school, but I had a friend of mine all through high school, and his sole desire was to graduate from high school and start driving an 18-wheeler. And there were people of all sorts and sizes and shapes who said, don't you want to do more with your life? Now that guy, fast forward a whole bunch of years later, and that guy owns a major trucking industry that serves the entire continental United States, Mexico and Canada. And he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go to college and he didn't go to, you know, spend a whole lot of time studying 17th century French literature. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with 17th century French literature, but he was open to Father Tim shaking his head.
I don't know.
He was open to understanding what it was that the Lord had in front of him.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah,
it is. And I would ask you to, if you can, in the times that you've already walked the halls of the schools where you're affiliated and even previous ones, being able to recall seeing this happen in individual students. What does it look like when, you know, the freshman that you knew or the first grader that you knew 3 years later, 2 years later, you see them starting to get it? Whichever one of these five it might represent. And you say to yourself, this is happening. I'm watching like a parent who sees how the children grow and change over time. I'm getting a front row seat in the Catholic school to seeing that with these children as a member of the clergy. And it's beautiful. Can you think of any of those that have happened?
Yeah, I can think of a couple of examples. I've only been a priest 4 years,
right,
going on five, but, there's two that I can kind of think of, and it's a little bit shorter time period, but there was a kid who was in third grade, I think, when I first was ordained. He was in third grade at the cathedral, young kid, we've talked publicly about this child before. His name's Sergio, that kid was thirsty to know why and what and who. And I mean, you'd go into the classroom and he would ask the best questions. This and just really, really interesting questions. And, you know, I was with him third grade and fourth grade and he kind of grew a little bit there. But then I went to a middle school youth rally for all of the Catholic schools this year and I saw him. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, do you remember who I am?" Of course, he was this. He was like this tall, which is like 3 feet above the ground. Then and now he's like taller than I am, and he's in seventh or eighth grade. And I think that there's still this openness to the supernatural right there that is really beautiful in him. The other time that I can remember that happening particularly is at St. Joseph's in Bryan. I taught a class of seniors, and we literally had a class. It was just an elective class that the principal and I taught, and we asked the question, how do you human well? How do you human well? And that was the entire, and some of the kids were like, I don't know about this, but all of them got something out of that class, and it was really cool to see how that that developed and those how those relationships between the kids themselves, but also between us and the kids, helped them to grow as human persons as they were on this verge of getting out of school.
We might have to have a show just about that statement later, but we'll save that.
Sure, yeah. I like that. Tim, do you have any examples?
Well, downtown in Austin, there was a family, and the mother was holding things together with many jobs and determined that the kids would have a Catholic education. And there was a brother who was in middle school and a sister who was in elementary school. And I remember one Sunday greeting people after Mass, and this is downtown Austin, and I see this brother and sister there. Where's your mom? She's working. And the brother had taken it upon himself to get on the bus and ride all the way from South Austin.
Wow. How old were these children?
Middle school. And the brother might have started high school. He went to a Catholic high school as well. But, you know, on that cusp of either 9th or 10th grade, mm-hmm, or maybe 8th mm-hmm. or 9th. And I was impressed that there was a strong family work ethic there, but there was the Catholic thing was what they were doing. And, mm-hmm. You know, that really touched me that this son could see how hard his mom was working for the Catholic mm-hmm. education, and it meant enough to him that he would get his sister to Mass on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. Important enough for him mm-hmm. to make the effort to figure out the bus route yep. and be mindful of his little sister. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's inspiring.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. So we got just a couple minutes here in our show, and we'll have to save the rest of these for next week's show, because I do want to get into. I think each one of these aspects is important for a little bit of exploration and mm-hmm. a little bit of teasing out of them. The Catholic worldview, again, you talk about a show that a subject that we could spend a lot of time on, and we could talk a lot of time about that, but. And we'll get into each one of those here in our upcoming episodes. But Father Harry, any final thoughts here in our last minute or so?
Well, and again, it just strikes me that all five of these, without articulating them again, the very last one, sustained by a gospel witness, that's where we land. And at least as we segue for getting ready for next time's session, and that's what you gentlemen have done today, is sustained us by a gospel witness. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for
You're
being
welcome.
Here to do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. And gentlemen, do reiterate what Father Harry said. I appreciate you carving time out of your schedules and sitting down with us here. And we hope to our listeners, and maybe Sergio's parents are listening. I don't know. thanks for tuning in with us. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we're going to finish up with these five aspects right here on School Spirit. We hope that you'll tune back in. We hope you'll join us. God bless you guys, and remember to put on the armor of God.